Welcome to Loyalty Unlocked. I'm Mark Sage, and I'm joined today by David Parsons from Ellipsis, one of the sharpest voices in the loyalty space. For full transparency, the content and voices in this podcast are all AI-driven, based on chapters from my forthcoming book on loyalty and David's own thoughts. Today, we're unpacking coalition loyalty, a model that's been praised, criticized, declared dead, and reinvented more times than we can count. So, let's jump right in.
Thanks, Mark. I'm excited for this one because coalition loyalty has this weird place in the industry right now. On the one hand, you've got legacy schemes winding down, and on the other, you've got some of the most advanced ecosystems in the world borrowing heavily from the coalition playbook.
Yes, I agree. It feels like we're at a pivotal point, so I'm really looking forward to breaking this topic down with you. On what coalition really means today, why some programs thrive while others fade, and where we see this model heading. Let's start at the top. What even is a coalition loyalty program in 2024? For me, the simple definition is shared brand, shared currency, and shared ambition.
I agree, but I'd add the how matters too. As traditionally, coalitions had an independent operator running the program for the benefit of all partners, not just the anchor brand.
And that's the line that's really blurred now. U Rewards, for example, in Hong Kong is owned by DFI. So is it a coalition? I'd say yes, because it works to drive value across multiple partners, not just serve one.
That's where shared ambition comes in. There's a difference between a shared network, where you have access to more eyeballs, and shared ambition, where you're trying to grow together.
Yes, shared ambition is important, and I suspect that's why some partners bail. They come in, get some acquisition volume, and leave. The challenge is creating a model that balances the needs of the group.
Right. I like to think of launching a coalition like putting up a tent in the wind. You start by anchoring the corners with usually a strong grocery or airline partner. But if you don't get the structure up fast with complementary partners and a shared currency, the whole thing collapses.
That's a great analogy and brings back fond memories of camping in North Wales. The thing is, if you don't have alignment on the brand, currency, and purpose early, you're really going to spend all your energy just holding the poles while the storm rolls in.
And let's be honest, ownership does influence intent, as independent coalitions need to make a margin. And anchor-owned programs are often run to drive value within the anchor's business that shapes everything from commercials to partner treatment.
True. But I'd argue it's less about who owns it and more about how they operate it. Are they trying to lift all boats or just their own?
Agreed. And with the tech barriers now so low, the reason for joining a coalition has shifted as it's no longer about infrastructure but about ecosystem and experience.
So what makes coalition loyalty actually work? One of the biggest factors for me is frequency. You can't build habit with one transaction a month, but if you're in grocery or fuel, and tie in something like payments, F&B, fashion, or telco, suddenly everyone wins.
Exactly. Low-frequency brands just don't have the natural customer cadence to make standalone loyalty work at scale. But in a coalition, they can borrow frequency while still owning part of the customer relationship via their own app and CRM.
That's key. They still need to own some of the customer connection. I think that's what gives coalition its real strength. You get overlap between partners, and suddenly your customer becomes someone else's best prospect.
That's the acquisition flywheel. And if you can attribute that correctly with the right tech and permissions, you've got a scalable, repeatable model for growth.
But there is risk there, I think. If you can't prove that acquisition and shared benefit, partners leave. You've really got to show them the value. And I feel that's where measurement and transparency really come in.
Absolutely. And we shouldn't forget rewards, as many low engagement brands join coalitions to access more aspirational rewards as they don't really have something motivational to give. But free coffee, cinema, travel, that has emotional value.
That's how you make the mundane meaningful. An everyday grocery trip becomes a treat somewhere else. At U, we saw people redeeming KFC egg tarts at such volume we could have fed Hong Kong.
And it's no longer about cost savings. There's coalitions of media ecosystems now, delivering audiences attention and results cheaper and more effectively than paid ads.
So true, and that's probably one of the biggest changes now in terms of what coalition was and what it has become. It's not about splitting infrastructure cost. It's really about building something bigger than any one brand can do alone.
This is where most people underestimate the complexity. You're not just managing a program, you're managing three things simultaneously. Brand loyalty to the coalition itself, program performance for each individual partner, and conversion between partners.
And that tension is real. One partner wants share of voice, another wants short-term acquisition, another wants more data. You need alignment, but also individual support.
It's also about perception. If customers see the program as coming from just one brand, then you lose that cross-brand power. That was Nectar's issue, I think, as Sainsbury's was dominant, and eventually that's all customers saw.
And once perception shifts, so does partner trust. You go from coalition to proprietary in people's minds. At You, we spent a lot of time ensuring it felt like a coalition, not a supermarket scheme.
And then there's the value flow. Are you issuing points or receiving redemptions? One's cost, one's benefit, and good coalitions balance this so both earners and burners win.
You definitely need to make the maths work for everyone. If you're a credit card partner pumping points into the system and someone else is taking all the redemptions, that only works if the value comes back in other ways, such as through higher spending and card usage.
Which is why we say coalition operators need to act like marketing agencies. Each partner needs account management, not just commercial terms, but support and activation, strategy and results.
You're right. It does end up looking a little like a marketing agency with account management, planning, data. We had that structure at both Nectar and at You Rewards. Dedicated teams for each major partner, not just sales, but strategy and analytics. And importantly, one for the coalition brand itself, to make sure that story was also getting told.
And that's when the flywheel effect kicks in. More partner promotion means more engagement. More engagement means better data. Better data means more value and more interest from new partners.
All right, let's switch gears for a moment with a quickfire round. I'm calling it coalition or not. I'll throw a program at you and we'll debate whether it really counts as a coalition. Ready?
Let's do it. But fair warning, I may contradict myself.
Okay. Qantas frequent flyer. You've got airlines, BP for fuel, Woolworths for groceries, even points from streaming services. Coalition or not?
Yes. From a modern perspective, it's partner rich, spans multiple categories, and has a shared currency. Sure, it's anchor owned, but the member sees a network, not just an airline.
I'm not convinced. It does look like a coalition, but the value really feels one way, toward Qantas. Partners don't seem to get equal brand presence or data leverage. It's more of a proprietary program with great partners.
But doesn't that describe most coalitions today? Anchor-led, but still built around multi-partner value. It's a coalition in structure, just not in governance.
Maybe. I can see your point. Let's try Aeroplan. Started by Air Canada, spun off to Aimia, then brought back under Air Canada. Coalition or not?
Absolutely. It was a clear coalition under Aimia. And even now, despite being reacquired, the model still holds. Multi-partner, multi-category, shared earn and burn. It's just back in-house.
I agree on the Aimia era, total textbook coalition. But post-reacquisition, it feels like it's slowly re-centralizing. It's mainly a mix of payment card earn, online affiliate, and some limited offline. Still partner-powered, yes, but is it operated for all partners equally? And is it truly everyday earn?
Depends how it's run internally, but I'd say if it walks like a coalition, talks like a coalition, even if it sleeps at Air Canada HQ, it's still a coalition.
Fair, it's one of those blurred lines. All right, final one, You Rewards. Owned and anchored by DFI in Hong Kong, but includes banking, fuel, F&B. Coalition or not?
No hesitation, yes. It's a coalition. It's got the scale, the partner diversity, a shared brand and currency, and a strong operating model.
Agreed. And I'd say it goes a step further. You operates with a clear ambition to lift all partners. That's what defines a true coalition for me. Shared ambition, not just shared branding.
Exactly. Whether it's proprietary, co-owned or independent, what matters is whether the model drives value for everyone in the ecosystem. One slightly contra review on coalitions, if you take things to the extreme, They're either owner-operated or dead. And most owner-operators only really care about the owner. So that's a real risk. Those that can balance those competing priorities will shine, but it's tough.
That's a good point. And I think what we've proven in this discussion is that this isn't a binary game anymore.
Nope. It's a spectrum. But the closer you get to shared ambition and shared value, the closer you are to true coalition.
So let's look ahead. Are coalition programs dying, or are we just seeing the next chapter?
I think the classic model is fading. But the coalition principles of shared data, shared audiences, shared value are more relevant than ever. They're just showing up under different names.
Absolutely. I see programs like U-Rewards as examples of this next wave. Digital first, flexible, and truly rooted in shared economics.
And in the super app model, coalition is the connective tissue. Loyalty moves you across verticals, from groceries to insurance to travel, because it creates a narrative and a reward across the journey.
I also feel that ownership doesn't matter as much now. Whether it's anchor-owned, co-owned, or independent, what matters is the mindset. Are you operating for the benefit of all partner?
Completely agree. It's always required a collective investment mindset. Every partner has to believe that growing the whole program benefits them individually. But that's not always an easy sell, especially when some partners feel like they're doing the heavy lifting.
And now we're seeing even more pressure. Brands want their own app, their own CRM, their own loyalty program, which makes sense. They want to control the experience, the data, the messaging.
Right. But with today's tech, that's actually achievable. You can let partners run their own front end, as long as the coalition still anchors reward and recognition. That central value layer is critical.
Exactly. If you let every partner fragment off with separate points, separate currencies, different rules, you lose the magic. The coalition stops being a flywheel and starts being noise.
And then you're just another network of disconnected offers. The strength of a coalition is in the shared center, one brand, one currency, one reason for the member to care.
So, to sum it up, coalitions aren't ending. They're just evolving into something bigger, smarter, more connected.
Yes, coalition loyalty isn't dead. It's just not wearing its old clothes anymore. And that's probably a good thing.
Well said, and a great note to end on. Thanks for joining, David. Always a pleasure to spar ideas and unpack the shifting shape of loyalty.
This is a topic I really love, so thanks for having me. Coalition loyalty might be harder to run, but when it works better than anything else out there, and it's still full of untapped potential.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Loyalty Unlocked. We hope this episode gave you a fresh perspective on coalition loyalty. If you enjoyed it, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone building the future of loyalty. Until next time.